On the northern tip of Plum Island, a few dozen volunteers sink shovels into a mound of sand. They're digging 10,000 holes to plant 20,000 stalks of beach grass. Local activist Vern Ellis says it's the only thing environmental officials will allow him to use, sand and beach grass.
The grass grows really, really deep roots, 3-4 feet down, and it spreads. And it basically holds the sand in place. And this stuff is really resilient. It could get buried up to about a foot of sand and it will come back up through it.
Ellis and his neighbors live on Reservation Terrace, a dozen shoreline houses at a flashpoint in Plum Island's struggle against erosion.
Well, it's kind of funny because when we first moved here, there was 400 more feet of dunes out into the river.
So you're not going back 50 years in family history, you're going back five years.
Yeah.
The cause of the erosion is a matter of debate. Some residents blame a jetty repair project conducted by the Army Corps of Engineers 5 years ago. The Army Corps attributes the erosion to natural cycles. Regardless of the cause, Vern Ellis and others on Reservation Terrace say 4/5 of their beach has been washed away. Up near the New Hampshire border, Plum Island is an island of sand, one of 681 so-called barrier beaches in Massachusetts, with ocean on one side and a bay, marsh, or other body of water on the other. It's a landform in flux, and as Ellis and his neighbors are witnessing, not just in geological time.
Yeah, it's coming. The erosion is coming. But, you know, we only have, you know, 20, 30 more years here on planet Earth and might as well enjoy it while we can.
Plum Island is a case study in how Massachusetts communities are reacting to a changing ocean. The prospect of rising sea levels makes it all the more critical. A recent report found 90,000 homes along the coast could face chronic flooding by the end of the century, some of them in the coming decades. Vern Ellis's beach grass is what's considered green infrastructure, a tread-lightly approach trying to enhance and complement the natural environment. Others on Plum Island are committed to the more permanent, hardened solutions of walls and barriers, known as gray infrastructure.
My name is Bob Connors.
Bob Connors and Vern Ellis are a yin and yang of DIY coastal resiliency. Where Ellis lives on a public beach, Connors owns the beach in front of his house. Where Ellis received approval from the authorities to plant beach grass, Connors went against the state. He led his neighborhood in constructing massive stone barriers along the beach, known as riprap. Connors says he had no choice.
All hell has just broken loose up here.
That's Connors back in 2013, talking to Channel 5 as a winter storm pounded his neighborhood.
We've got several homes now that have been compromised. One has actually gone in. It's collapsed onto the beach. And another one to my left, his foundation was just compromised.
Connor says the state was threatening to issue huge fines if he and his neighbors went against coastal building rules and put up riprap in front of their homes. But a storm of political pressure and media scrutiny ensued on behalf of the neighbors, and the state backed down.
Government timeline never matches that of Mother Nature when you're having a natural disaster. If we had tried to go through the normal permitting process and then trying to overcome the nays and the yays of whether you should or shouldn't do it, we would have lost probably 40 homes.
5 years later, and Connor says the riprap are doing their job, though that requires constantly replacing rocks dislodged by the waves. Connor says it's worth the tens of thousands of dollars it costs him. He sees his neighborhood as the front line of an existential battle against the ocean.
We're trying to defend our property, but in the meantime, we're also defending the infrastructure of our roadway. We're defending the Great Marsh. If Plum Island or other barriers weren't here, the Great Marsh would be gone. So where do you decide to draw the line and make a stance? Do you have a right to protect your property, to protect your family?
Some on Plum Island see Connors as a renegade. What if everybody shirked the rules and built walls along the beach? Others say it's a task of Sisyphus, the Greek king forced to roll a boulder up a hill for eternity, only to see it roll back down.
I think while it works, it's absolutely buying time.
Greg Moore is an ecologist from the University of New Hampshire. Standing in front of the riprap near Connor's neighborhood, Moore says he teaches his students about the green approach of Ellis and the gray approach of Connor's.
This is gray infrastructure, right? This is taking an engineered solution of gray stones and putting it in place. And when we plant dune grass on the dunes, that's our green infrastructure. And, you know, perhaps there's a way to marry those two technologies together to protect a system. I can't predict if this is going to be sustainable. At some of the locations, it's not been enough. Right now, today, on a beautiful sunny day, it looks like it's working.
But Moore says these days, a disastrous storm is always right around the corner for Plum Island. And if the trend doesn't break and the projections of several feet of sea level rise are accurate, Moore says some on Plum Island will have to consider retreat. As a scientist, he sees the cataclysms underway as inevitable. But as someone who's been playing on the island since he was a kid and who spent years doing research here with the blessing of the residents, he's not ready to watch the homes fall into the ocean.
When it's your property, when it's your home, it's very hard to separate the cold, say, harsh truth of science against, you know, some homeowners here who've lived there their whole life. And it's very difficult to give up the fight for them.
As for Vern Ellis at the mouth of the Merrimack, he decided to end the fight after the havoc of last winter.
It was really hard because we love living there. It is just so beautiful. But after the storms in March, it washed over the dunes into the street all along Reservation Terrace. And that's when you know it's like, this is not good.
Ellis plans to sell his dream house later this year. Of all the differences he shares with Bob Connors, perhaps that's the biggest of all. Connors doesn't plan on going anywhere.
Will everybody survive? Time will tell. The neighborhoods that are cohesive and act as a group will survive. Those that are splintered and are thinking that everyone else is going to do it for them, time will tell.
For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Simon Rios.